Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Cadbury's Q2 2021 earnings call. I now have the pleasure of handing over the call to your host, Ms. Suad Jamal Al Sakhair, Vice President of Strategic Communications. Madam, please go ahead.
Thank you so much, and hello again. My name is Suad Jamal Al Sakhair, the Vice President of Strategic Communications here at Cadbury. On behalf of Cadbury's management team, I would like to welcome you all and thank you for joining us for the H1 2021 results conference call. Hope you're all keeping safe and healthy. Before we begin our presentation, I would like to remind you that some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Kindly refer to slide two of the presentation for the detailed disclaimer. I would now request you to turn to slide number three for today's agenda. On today's call, we have with us Mr. Khalid Al-Mahdoubi, our Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Adel Al-Waheedy, our Chief Financial Officer. Khalid will begin with the opening remarks and provide an overview of the first half of 2021 performance and key events. Following that, Adel will discuss the financial performance in more detail. Khalid will then conclude the presentation, and we will open the line for your questions. Thank you, and over to you, Khalid.
Thank you, Suad, and thank you everyone for joining us today. This is the first time I'm speaking to you all. As you're aware, I have joined Cadbury as the CEO in May 2021. I've spent over 25 years in the energy sector. Prior to joining Cadbury, I was the Chief Operating Officer at Dolphin Energy, overseeing the downstream division of UAE, prior to which I was Senior Vice President, President of Dolphin Technical Service division. In addition to those roles, I've also occupied senior roles in the Abu Dhabi Department of Transport, ADNOC, and ADCO. I'm excited to be part of Cadbury and to contribute to the significant transformation of the company. Cadbury remains committed to driving value, shareholder value through growth in our existing core GCC markets and selectively pursuing opportunities outside of GCC. Cadbury recently unveiled its new branding and corporate identity that aligns essential for progress as a core brand positioning and closely aligns with the company's strategy, reflecting Cadbury's core values. The branding is more modern and dynamic and articulating the company's role in society, that of a catalyst for change with progress in its central tenets. Move on to the next slide. Moving on, I would like to highlight our H1 2021 performance. Total revenue grew by 22%, led by chilled water business growth of 22% and value chain business growth of 28%. During the same period, EBITDA growth was 25%, and as a result, our EBITDA margins expanded from 59% in H1 2020 to 60% in H1 2021. Net profit during H1 2021 increased by 4% to 223 million. During the first half of the year, we added capacity of over 13,000 RTE. Despite limited capacity addition during the first half of 2021, we remain confident of achieving our target of delivering 120,000 RTEs of new capacity over 2021 to next year in 2022. The last quarter also marked the first anniversary of partnership with Emaar Properties for the exclusive provision of energy-efficient district cooling services to Landmark Development in downtown Dubai. Move on to next slide. Cadbury is contributing to the region's growth through efficient and environmentally friendly cooling, enabling sustainable development. As our business grows, so does our positive environmental footprint. We are the largest district cooling provider in the region and currently operate 87 plants across the region, delivering over 1.41 million tons of cooling. Our operations produced over 2.26 billion kWh of energy consumption in last year, enough to power 128,000 homes per year, or equivalent to reducing over 1.35 million tons of CO2 emissions. Move on to the next slide. This slide outlines our capacity growth plans across the region. At the beginning of 2021, we announced that we expected to add at least 120,000 RTE of new connected capacity by the end of 2022. Of this, we expect around 80% to be contributed by consolidated entities and balance 20% from equity accounted entities. Again, we are confident of delivering this target. And then in last year, we had guided a capacity of 75,000 RTUs for 2021, for which we added over 53,000 RTUs from 2012 to date. The first half has been relatively slow in terms of new capacity addition, and expect faster growth in the main part of the year. Saudi Arabia has strong growth potential going forward. We expect around 15% of the guided capacity for 21 and 22 to be contributed by feeding Saudi Arabia. Tabriz continues to demonstrate its ability to deliver a steady improvement in capacity in the region, driven by the growth of our markets across the GCC and by successfully leveraging our regional network to take advantage of commercial opportunities as and when they present themselves. This slide recaps the evolution of our performance over the years. To summarize, Tabriz is a stable utility infrastructure business with long-term contracts with high-profile customers. This provides us clear visibility of future earnings of cash flows. We currently have over 90% of our capacity contracted for at least the next 10 years. About 80% of our revenues are derived from fully government-owned and partly government-owned organizations, therefore limiting counterparty risk. Also, the contracts are long-term in nature of around 25 years, providing better revenues and resolution. The current contract connected capacity is over 1,400 RTUs, which has grown at a CAGR of 8% since 2018. At the same time, the Charles Water business has been growing at a CAGR of 10% since 2010 has been primary driver for the group revenue. Tabriz has a track record of delivering profitable growth, and the price has increased at a CAGR of 17% since 2018. All the three recent acquisitions of downtown BCD, Masdar, and Saudi Arabia Island, these new assets have helps us build a strong platform for future growth opportunities. These M&As have added significant concession capacity, which we anticipate to connect in coming years. I will now hand over to Adam, who will talk about our financial results in more detail.
Thank you, Khalid. Let me start by highlighting the key points in our income statement for H1 2021. Revenue grew by 22%, driven robust performance of both Chilled Water and Value Chain business. Chilled Water business recorded growth of 22% during the period. Key factors driving this increase: recent acquisitions contributed over 15% of the growth. Balance sheet contributed to new connections, increasing consumption volumes, and overall improvement in operational efficiency. The third one, partly offset by negative CPIs. Value Chain business accounted for 4% of consolidated revenues and less than 1% of EBITDA. BCD is a non-core business but continues to be profitable. EBITDA for H1 2021 grew by 25% to 518 million dirhams. EBITDA margins for the period were 60% in line with last year. Growth in EBITDA was primarily driven by consolidation of downtown DCP, Masdar, and Adiyat Island DC assets. Higher finance costs reflect two new loans raised last year for funding new acquisitions. Other gains in previous year mainly represent gain on contract amendments with an existing client, share of associates and JVs, higher primarily due to better performance coupled with fixed cost savings and operational efficiency. This profit for the period increased by 4% compared to last year. We will now look at the statement of financial position on the next slide. Main highlights: increase in fixed assets and intangibles represent additions due to acquisition of Saviat Island DC assets. Receivables are in line with year-end given the growth in our business and in the last few months. DSOs have remained stable since the year end. Increase in other liabilities mainly represents seasonality factor and acquisition of Saudiyat entities. Turning to the next slide, we will now take a look at the cash flow statement. Our cash flow generation during the period has been stronger than last year's same period. Higher collections from customers in the current period. These all remain stable since the year end. CapEx outflows relate to the acquisitions of the Paliyat Island assets. Ooredoo retains some liquidity with closing cash balances at the end of the period at 551 million dirhams, and our revolving credit facility remains unutilized. Let me now turn to the slide on this portfolio, please. This slide provides the usual background on Tabreed's debt portfolio as of June 2021. Tabreed has 6.1 billion dirhams of net debt and a gearing ratio of 53% at the quarter end. Net debt to EBITDA ratio improved to 5.7 multiples in June 2021 compared to 1.8x in June 2020. We expect this to further improve as the full EBITDA contribution from recent acquisitions is reflected in our financials. Both Moody's and Fitch reaffirmed their investment-grade ratings following the Jazan acquisition and the bond issue. That completes the detailed review of our results of the first half of this year. I will now pass back to Khalid for closing comments.
Thank you, Aziz. In addition to the good news that we already announced, we would like to add a few points as well. In March 2021, Tabreed published its first ESG report, and it's available on our webpage under sustainability section. We would encourage you all to go through and read the report. Tabreed is a highly sustainable business, delivering significant power efficiencies compared to other cooling alternatives. Tabreed continues to make considerable progress on its business objectives, while also ensuring the health and safety of its staff across all its operational sites. Under the current circumstances, despite the pandemic, the company maintained business continuity while ensuring the health and safety of its staff and partners across all Tabreed entities. This resilience, combined with our commitment to the communities in which we operate, our staff and customers, and to the highest levels of governance across our operations, reflects our very strong ESG credentials. Moving on to the next slide, please. Before we open the lines for Q&A, let me summarize. As a stable utility business model, Tabreed continues to deliver strong financial and operating performance with rising profitability and margins. Tabreed has a strong investor base and an experienced management team, solid corporate governance, and market-leading transparency demonstrated by board composition with over 50% independent directors, including the chairman himself. Tabreed has a very flexible capital structure to fund future growth. As we have mentioned before, we will look at opportunities within and beyond the GCC, and we'll provide you with updates as and when such opportunities materialize. We continue to work on various fronts, from business development to operations, to help drive growth and improve profitability. That concludes the presentation for our H1 earnings. Thank you for your time today, and we will now take any questions you may have.
Of course, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If you're joining us online, please click the Request to Speak flag icon. If you choose to withdraw your question, please press star followed by two. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone line is unmuted locally. As a reminder, that's star followed by one to submit a question. If you've joined us online, please click the Request to Speak flag icon. Our first question comes from Jai Andrew Lawrence of Amal Capital. Jai, your line is now open.
Hi, this is Jai from Amal Capital. Thank you for the call and congratulations on a good set of numbers. I was just wondering, is there any progress on the SAIDI front in terms of winning projects that you were bidding on previously with the mega projects that are coming up in SAIDI? That's it for now.
SAIDI, as I said, that's been a great area of growth for us, as I mentioned in my presentation. We are evaluating some new businesses that's coming up from Saudi Arabia. Hopefully once they transpire, we will be the first to know, inshallah.
Okay. Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, star followed by one to submit a question. If you've joined us online, please click the Request to Speak flag icon. Our next question comes from Dana Al-Othman of NBK Capital. Dana, your line is now open.
Hi. Yes. Thank you for this call. I have two questions, if I may. The first is there any timeline of exit from the Qatari operation? And second, any update on the brownfield acquisitions? And updates on India or Egypt operations?
For Qatar, the general partners in Qatar, and I think once the business works out, it will transpire, and definitely we will inform of our shareholders and the media what the outcome is going to happen in Qatar. As far as the legal question in India, it's brownfield. We have around how many RTs have we got added to brownfield station? So the brownfield, I just got this, I wanted to give you the number. The numbers here, about 200 RTs have been added to our brownfield project so far. And of course, the prospects look very good in the brownfield issue as well. As far as the international market is concerned, I think India is part of them. We are still evaluating our options there in the international market, and we are following it up very closely. And hopefully once something comes up and actually solidifies, India will come from the market as soon as possible.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, it's star followed by one on your telephone keypad to submit a question. And if you've joined us online, please click the request to speak flag icon. Our next question comes from Rakesh Tripathi of Franklin Templeton. Rakesh, your line is now open. Rakesh, your line is now open. Please make sure you're unmuted locally.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, my apologies. Yeah, so a few questions from my end. Number one, if you could just remind us a bit on the RCF size and the maturity that's available as of now to the company. Secondly, I didn't get it if you spoke about this in the previous question, any updates on acquisition plans? Is there anything that you are actively looking at as of now? What's happening on that front? And thirdly, on your leverage, I mean, I suppose the understanding as of now is that leverage improves as the EBITDA contribution from the new acquisition starts to show up. But if you were to go for any additional acquisitions, then how do you plan to manage the leverage implications and how the rating agencies would look at that?
Hi, Rakesh. Yeah, regarding the RCA, the current RCA that we have, okay, the tenor is up to 23 next year. And its value, as I said, 590 million. Regarding the growth expansion, the question, as you said, that the company always it is, you know, going to study if there are any, you know, opportunities in the market, whether new in the region or any interesting markets, and we will pursue that, you know, once we see if it is something really attractive, and definitely we will share this with the market for materializing for sure. About how to fund and about the growth, you know that the company or the shareholders, they decided, you know, the growth is something important. This is a strategy for the time being. This is in line that a company, you know, our company to believe it is rated investment grade by Fitch and Moody's. And also we will maintain that, and we will not let go this decision. This threshold, so that we will manage this growth, considering that
strategic objective for us always to maintain, and the shareholders, you know, for 2020, the dividend distribution, if you can remember, it was 50-50 cash and bonus shares. And this is a clear message, you know, that the shareholders always they will back up that growth story. And whenever there is also an execution and an additional step required, definitely that they will do. I hope that I answered.
Yes, you did. Thank you. So, RCF you mentioned was $590 million, right? USD $590 million up to 2023.
No, dirhams, at least. Dirhams.
Okay. Yes, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Divya Arora of Daman Investments. Divya, your line is now open.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for the conference call. My question is linked to, again, the balance sheet structure and the future acquisition. So currently we know as per your presentation that net debt to EBITDA is around 5.7 times. And that's the reason, because you're saying you want to maintain your investment rating, and that's why you cut the dividend last year. I'm talking about the cash dividend. So going forward, you have some acquisitions in the pipeline, which you heard in the media also. So you think for you to maintain this investment grade rating, there will be a need to raise more capital, do a right issue if needed?
Thank you, Divya, for the question. As I said, you know, the growth, it is our theme for the time being. Maintaining the investment grade, it is something red line. We will not leave it at all. And the shareholders, you know, they will take the right decision upon as they come, whenever, you know, it is we reach to that point, we require any sort of funding. We will, you know, explore all options that we have, and definitely we will select the best, you know, fit of the breed.
All right, and so in terms of dividend, we should continue to assume that the payout ratio on the cash basis for the next couple of years, because you're looking for acquisitions, the payout ratio would continue to be around 30% on the cash basis?
We have always, you know, that the strategy of the company, whenever there is a growth into the results and the net income, definitely, okay, the payout, it has to increase. So that's simple strategy that we have and approved by the shareholders.
But it is not aligned with what happened last year, right? Because last year the payout was reduced from 65 to 30, the dividend was reduced from 10. Yeah, I'm talking about the cash dividend, from 10 cells to 6 cells.
Okay, yeah, you're talking about the cash part of it. No, it is for the same thing, you know, it depends on the situation exactly, where we will be standing on, okay, or the funding options, if there is any need for that, definitely it will be raised to the shareholders. They will explore all options and they will take the right decision. But most important, you know, message from them, always they will be available for the support.
And in terms of the two acquisitions that we have heard about in the market, one is a big cover airport one, and the other one is a marginal footing. Are we still in the market, these two, or has the situation has improved, especially for marginal footing? Have they pulled out from this thing, from the sale? And how about the Dubai airport?
You know, I think, you know, more than us, you know, anything that for the future as a listed company, okay, we cannot disclose anything. Once something materialized, definitely it will be shared according to the FM disclosure's rules.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as another reminder, it's star followed by one on your telephone keypad to submit a question. If you join us online, please click the request to speak flag icon. Our next question comes from Thomas Matthew of Camco Invest. Thomas, your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. I just have one question on the Saudi operations and how you're seeing Saudi sort of, the Saudi Tabreed sort of look at growth and look to sort of achieve growth. I just want to know any sort of guidance as to how you're seeing growth sort of being garnered from that operation. They've been, it's well documented that there are many mega projects there, and but at the same time, there's also this aspect where most of those district cleaning assets for those projects are still handled by the developers. And just trying to understand how you are envisioning growth from your Saudi operations. Any guidance would be helpful. Thank you.
Well, there's no denying the fact that Saudi Arabia has a huge potential. It's a large market for district cooling, hence our presence there. As far as the property question is about to do with operation, basically most of those investors eventually what they will have is they either going to reinvest those investments and handing over to right-side district cooling operators, the Saudis will be there, or it will be more directly contracted with the Saudis. But we do understand the potential of the market, and our partners in Saudi Arabia do that, and we see it as I think the second largest market, I believe, as far as the Saudis is concerned. And definitely, we are looking into the Saudi market with keen eyes, and we are really a partner in Saudi Arabia. So, how and there are many ways of how this is going to be working out, and I think we just pick the one that works best with our partners in Saudi Arabia, and we move forward with that.
All right. I just have a follow-up on that. I think it's been mentioned in the past that the return expectations always is in the range of 10 to 12%, and that's largely for UAE operations. In Saudi, is it fair enough to sort of assume a similar sort of return of expectation for complete pursuits there, or is it a different range altogether?
I don't believe the limit to comment on that one as well. We are part of the Saudi company as well. So I think we leave that to the Saudi company team to comment on that one.
All right, thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a further reminder, it's star followed by one on your telephone keypad to submit a question. And if you're joining us online, please please do. Apologies, my line just cut out there. Please use the request to speak flag icon. We currently have no further questions, so I'll hand back to the management team for closing.
And this concludes our H1 2021 earnings call. So we look forward to interacting with you at our earnings conference call and investor conference in the future. Should you have any further questions, please do not hesitate to contact us. Have a great day. Thank you once again for joining the call, and stay safe.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect.